Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention to the injuries. It was just more, we just wasn't doing enough to get off the field. You know, like I said, it was, you know, we had some penalties, key spots down there. We got a couple stops, but like I said, it just wasn't enough. We wasn't consistent enough stopping the ball. They had too many long drives. They was able to kind of go all the way down the field. And we got some, I think we got some key red zone stops, but it just wasn't enough today. And obviously, we didn't get any takeaways. So we don't get any takeaways. And, you know, their defense played and got a takeaway as well. So it just wasn't enough for us.
Kevin Byard, he almost had an interception. Just missed him by a second. Ball got tipped, though. That's what happened there. Bears lose to the Baltimore Ravens 30-16. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you right here on 670 The Score on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. All day today we're talking Bears. Obviously, I'm leading you right into 5 o'clock, where Dustin Rhodes is going to take over, give you all the details. That's what I love the best about Dustin's pregame show. He gives you the minute details that, like, you know, we as hosts, we're out here just babbling and giving our opinions. But I always like listening to Dustin on the way home because he'll hit me with some stuff that I didn't even think about. I'll be like, oh, damn, that was the stat that happened right there. So Dustin's always giving you the goods. Again, that happens at 5 o'clock. Then Mully and Haw jump on right after him. Of course, Dustin Rhodes is the executive producer of that show. He hands it off to the fellas. And they got three great guests for you. Olin Krutz jumps on at 7. Probably my favorite guy to listen to. Excuse me. Then TJ Edwards, current Chicago Bear middle linebacker, jumps on at 8 o'clock to talk about the loss last night. Then Brad Biggs jumps on at 9. The ever truthful Brad Biggs. So if you want to get a good litmus of what the Bears are in the present, Brad will hold no punches, I assure you of that. Excuse me. Anthony Heron jumps on at 11 with Raheemi Harris and Mark Grody, as does Dan Weeder at 1. And then Spiegel and Holmes, they got Kurt Warner at 3 o'clock. So that'll be a great one for you there. Make sure you're hanging out with us all day long. But in the meantime, we're taking phone calls. 312-644-6767. Tough one in this one. My takeaways so far today, for those that want to sit on the therapist couch, is that someone said Caleb Williams is not mature enough to handle NFL pressure. I put an asterisk next to that one because that one has stood out with me, because it seems like every time Caleb drops back, whether he has time or not, he seems frazzled. The throws seem, I don't know, they're just not there the way that I would like them to be. And I'm always expecting the worst.
I was actually going to say a legit question, like pressure, like meaning pressure, like taking a sack, or pressure of like being an NFL quarterback?
No.
Legit question.
Yeah, I think it's, that's a good one. Because I think it could be double-sided, right? I think.
Yeah, both make sense.
Yeah, the pressure that, actually, you know, he's very good at handling pressure, right? He's one of the better quarterbacks in the league, handling the blitz. So this we do know. So I think it is the pressure of where Caleb Williams is used to being one of the better quarterbacks in whatever respective league he's in.
Superman.
And in the NFL, because you are, and I've mentioned this before, playing against, you know, all-star teams every week. You're playing against the best defenders in college football ever, right? Or not ever, but, you know, within the last couple of years, you're playing against the best of the best. And it's hard to then elevate your game to be better than them. And I think that part is frustrating to Caleb Williams, where he might think he can needle a ball into Roma Dunze that ends up in an interception. He might feel as though he's being rushed to throw a ball instead of, you know, standing. I told my dad, or I was watching with my father-in-law yesterday. I said, how many times have you seen Caleb Williams step into a throw? Like, drop back, feel good, and then step into it, shoulders squared up, and making a great release to someone. It's just not too often. So there's frustrating things there. And then, you know, the big point that I've been making about Caleb is after yesterday's game, his ceiling is no longer as high as I thought it would be. Listen to what I said there. I'm not saying that his ceiling is still not up there, right? He didn't reach his ceiling. He still has room to grow. I just think whereas before, I really genuinely thought Caleb Williams was going to put the Bears on his back today. And in the fourth quarter, when they were down 16-13 after scoring a touchdown and getting the ball back, I thought Caleb Williams was going to prove that his ceiling was where I expected it to be, a top five quarterback in the league. But after the result from yesterday, I had to readjust and be a realist and say his ceiling is no longer there. For me personally, I am not putting the pressure on Caleb Williams to be a top five quarterback. You're already a top 15. You're already in the top half of the league. I think you're better than half the quarterbacks. But now your ceiling is top 10. That's your ceiling. You are a top 10 quarterback. Can you get to five? I don't think so. But I think you could be 6, 7, 8. And maybe I'm wrong, but I'd love to hear what you have to say. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on 670 The Score. Phone lines are open. Let's go out to Mike out in Deerfield. Mike, talk to me about this offense of the Chicago Bears. And am I wrong by saying Caleb Williams' ceiling has gone down a foot or two for me?
You know what? To me, it's not the ceiling going down, but more of the floor going down. I feel like his ceiling's still there. You still got a few years left with, you know, in the Ben Johnson system before you give up on him. But his floor, you know, you expected him to come to this league, and everyone's like, okay, he's going to be better than Justin Fields right away, right first minute. This guy's going to come in and he's going to be better. But you know what? He has the same tendencies. He wants to see the person open before he throws it. He doesn't give up on a play, anything like that. Although Justin at times would give up on a play and just try to, you know, run, and that was it. But, you know, I just see some of the same tendencies. So I would say more his floor went down than his ceiling.
That's a great comp. And, you know, it's heartbreaking to hear. I'll be very honest with you, Mike, when you say that, because here I am thinking about, you know, taking an optimistic approach like, oh, you still can be good, just maybe not as good as I thought you were going to be. But then the realist approach is, yeah, but he's not even as good as we thought he was going to be from the beginning, right? The floor has gone down where you thought he would start at a certain point. What do you think it is for you? Because the talent is there. I think we all can see that he's talented. But there are certain things that are hindering him from reaching his capabilities.
Well, you know, a couple things I think of. For one, I do think, you know, you have a coach that's supposed to be protecting you. And we talked about it a lot with the old coaches about, you know, simplifying things. And I don't see a lot of, you know, just pure, you know, rollouts or pure, you know, cutting the field in half. You know, if this happens and it breaks down, do this. You know, it's almost like, all right, here's all the stuff I want you to do, and I just want you to do it. And I think that hurts him a little bit, and I think he puts, you know, that pressure on himself. And at the same time, when we talk about just him feeling the pressure, I do think that, you know, while he's going through his leads, he almost has that little voice in the back of his head that's like, you know, do you see him open? Are they open? Well, this person's supposed to be open here. Just throw it, you know. And Where's Rome? You know, that's a big thing. And then one more thing about him that I just wanted to point out. It seems like he's never really had that, you know, maybe he never had that person in college, but he doesn't seem to be able to get that high point throw. You know, it's like he doesn't know how to use a big body like his tight ends. When he throws it to Rome, he's thrown it to his body. He doesn't know how to high point it. But yeah, I've been rattling a little bit.
No. Stay on the line because I like our conversations, Mike, whenever you call in.
Yeah.
That, first of all, that's great. I'm going to say that to people because, you know, he had Jordan Addison at USC. So you're thinking like the speedy slot receiver. You're not thinking he didn't have like Jaden Daniels had Brian Thomas Jr., right? The big body over the top. You know, he didn't have a Marvin Harrison Jr. He had the speedy guy, you know, the guy that you can throw it over the top. So that's a good one. And never had really a high caliber tight end to throw the ball to either. So that's a good one. I really, really like that in terms of why he doesn't lean on that skill set more than he should. I think for me, you know, Caleb Williams, like, the timing just needs to sharpen, right? And the turnovers, mm-hmm. I don't mind an interception. I just wish they would happen down the field. I don't know if you heard me earlier. I said Roma Dunze, prior to yesterday, was leading the league in contested catches 15 yards and more, and longer, right? You got to throw the ball up to Roma Dunze. This is what he did well in college. He led college football with 75% completion rate on jump balls. So you're talking about a guy where Michael Penix Jr., right, the Atlanta Falcons quarterback, would just loft the ball up to him in the end zone. And Roma Dunze would just come down it with it. And we just haven't seen enough of that from Caleb Williams in this kind of an offense. But, yeah, maybe he's just thinking about it a little too much. It's frustrating because this was the game. Didn't you think, Mike, that this was the game he was going to put the team on his back?
100%, and that's what I've been saying all week. It's like, you know, the defense is going to be a little bit hurt. We just got to get a few stops. But that offense, yeah, the offense needs to put up points. I thought Colson Loveland was going to have his breakout game. You know, I thought they were going to start finding him. Yeah. He's a sharp route runner. He's a big dude who can high point the ball. But, you know, we just, yeah, it's a little bit of just kind of not trusting his eyes, not trusting his arm. Always had a big arm, so he never really had to, you know, put that ball in that place. You know, he never really had to say, okay, you know, I'm going to get it a little bit higher than the defense can go.
Yeah, frustrating. And then, you know, there was other things that stood out that made you think that the Bears could take advantage of, you know, Ravens secondary is trash, right? Like, they've given up so many big plays. And even their big, you know, their best cornerback, Marlon Humphrey, he only has, and I only know these stats because, you know, I work on the Chicago Lead TV show, CHSN. Shout out to them. Make sure you check us out 6 o'clock every day on CHSN, myself, David Hall. But I said this week on the show, Marlon Humphrey only has 2 pass deflections the whole year, right? So you're talking about a secondary that's not necessarily ball hawks that are getting after it. So it felt like you could have took some chances down the field where they didn't get a chance to do that. That one was frustrating for me. Then, you know, I was talking about Roma Dunze, or excuse me, you were talking about Colson Loveland. The Ravens defense were allowing 6.5 catches and 67 yards. That's what they were averaging, giving up to tight ends this season. You want me to tell you what Colson Loveland had today for the Chicago Bears, or yesterday, excuse me? Colson Loveland, 3 catches, 38 yards. I mean, like, come on. Like, we're not even taking advantage of their biggest weaknesses in those situations. But again, there are moments you can point to, right? I mean, second and third quarters, only holding the ball 4 minutes and 43 seconds in 2 quarters is just unacceptable, right? So that lets you know your defense is a leaky faucet by allowing extended drives during that time. Your first 2 possessions, you only get 3, you only get field goals, even though you're in the red zone. And then you're down 16-13 with the ball. First play, false start, puts you back on the 2-yard line. Then you throw an interception 2 plays later. I mean, there are glaring mistakes in this game that really highlight, you know, the deficiencies of this Chicago Bears team.
Mm-hmm. And how much of those glaring penalties, you know, do you put on them? But how much do you really put on, you know, Ben Johnson, who came in to specifically, you know, clean this up, to clean things up, to simplify things for the quarterback, to simplify things for the offense, and to put up points? I mean, you put up 16 points against the Ravens. I mean, come on, 16 points? That's not good, man.
It's not good enough. And here's what I'll say, too. You know, if you go down to the let's do a little exercise here, Mike. So let's get down to the red zone. First and 10 on Baltimore's 17-yard line. Okay, we're in the red zone here. Everybody, stay with me. Okay. Rush to DeAndre Swift. Rush for Caleb Williams. The false start. You get one pass. Rush for DeAndre Swift. Rush for Kyle Nungai. Caleb Williams gets sacked. So you have six rushes and one pass inside the red zone on your first possession. That's a Ben Johnson problem for me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a Ben Johnson issue. I need you to call up the play for Rome to go get it. That you cannot be in the red zone and have six rushes in one pass. Just it can't happen, right? You got to give your team an opportunity. Now let's go to the second time they're in the second possession in the red zone. Okay, they don't get there. Second possession, they can't even get into the red zone. They're let's see. Let's take it back to a reasonable amount. First and 10 from the 25. All right. They call it the gold zone, right? First and 10 from the 25. The DJ Moore rush for 3 yards was horrible. The exchange was bad. I why are we giving the ball to DJ Moore on a 25? Again, a rush. Like, what are we doing? Now you put yourself in second and long. Incomplete pass to Colston Loveland. I felt like they're forcing it to him too much. That was my intention. Then third and 7, you can't get it. The drop pass to Roma Dunze. Now you got to kick a field goal. Just the play call. Like, I need a little dump off to DeAndre Swift. I need a draw play. Can we have a draw play where the defense is getting at him? And then I felt like those are two instances where the Bears felt, and this is, Mike, something I think happens often, we're just going to keep getting back here. So if we don't do it right on this time, we'll get another opportunity again. But that's not the case. The Bears aren't that good where you can say that to yourselves. You have to attack it. If you are there, you need to treat it as if it's the two-minute drill and you're down 3 or down 4 and you need a touchdown. That's how they need to approach that and not be able to just settle and be satisfied with 3 points.
I agree, and you know, you even think about when you do get down there. So going back to the first drive, you know, and you watch different teams. You know, you watch the Chiefs, and you know, they have those little plays where it's like, you know, you just see somebody come open quick. But either way, you know, get the action going one way with the run and roll out the other. You know, see if you can catch some guys on the edge. See if you can catch, you know, Loveland in the back of the end zone, Rome in the front, or Moore in the front. Even Luther Burden, you know, doing some speedy play in the front,
yeah.
And getting to the pylon. You know. Get the action going one way and see if you can get some speed or some size going the other way. Whatever happens, you can throw the ball out of bounds if you need to. You play to live another day, you know, play to live another down. But you got to get more creative than, you know, putting a 150-pound DeAndre Swift, you know, running up the middle trying to get into the end zone.
I love that. Hey, thanks for the call, Mike. I appreciate you hanging out with me, man. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670. The Score. Bears lose to the Baltimore Ravens 30-16. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. We've got some great guests for you all day today on 670 The Score. Of course, I'm hanging out with you until 5 o'clock. That's when Dustin Rhodes takes over. And then he'll be handing off to Mully and Hall. They got Olin Krutz at 7, TJ Edwards at 8, Brad Biggs at 9. Then Raheemi Harrison Grody, two good ones for you. Anthony Heron at 11, Dan Weeder at 1, then Spiegel and Holmes have Kurt Warner at 3 o'clock. But in the meantime, we're talking Bears. Let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Andrew out in Edgewater. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks. I've apologize to make some contacts, but, you know, I watched the game. Wasn't happy like you guys. One thing, Ben Johnson needs to take his shirt off, not because of victory, because he owes me a hot dog, right? Do we agree?
I think that's going to be a tough ask to get Ben Johnson, but I hear what you're saying. Though
free hot dogs, nothing wrong
with that.
Different context. But and so I'm a frustrated Bears fan. I'm realistic, but I'm going to go back in time a little bit, maybe a year ago, 2 years ago. The score is probably all over. I can't remember the executive who talked about it, but, like, he said, if you want to be successful, you need, like, at least 4 blue-chip players. And let's be honest, we don't have any. We might have Jalen Johnson. He's gone for the year. So my expectations, I still want them to win, but I'm not all hurt when they don't. And we don't have any. I, you know, it's like it's frustrating. We got to talk about it, this and that. I'm a frustrated Bears fan like everyone else. Like, wait, can we name three blue chip players? I can't.
I think, well, I mean, Jalen Johnson is your one, right? You can't, I mean, even though he's injured, we agree on that. I think Roma Dunze would be your blue chip player. I think he's a
rising star.
Yeah, I think he's there. And I think, you know, the last two games, Montez Sweat has had a sack in the last two games. So, I mean, you know, although you might not take his whole body of work, I think you can make the argument. But I'm not mad about his salary. Go ahead, my friend. I think the point is being made where we're making a stretch for Montez Sweat to be the blue chip player. And I think that's your point, right? That we don't have enough of them. We have to make an argument for Sweat to be a blue chip player instead of him just being one, right? And I think that's what your point is. And I agree with it. I think there are a couple players away still, but I think that's what Ben Johnson is doing this season. Really assessing what he has in front of him.
Who needs to take his shirt off? I want a hot dog.
Are you going to put ketchup on the hot dog, though, is the question.
I don't want to answer that because it's not going to be popular. I'm from the suburbs, technically, so.
Well, I'll tell you this. As a born and raised in the city of Chicago, okay? Born and raised. Went to Lane Tech. Mm-hmm. Went to UIC. I'll tell you right now, you can put ketchup on your hot dog. It is okay. As a lifelong Chicagoan, I'm telling you, whoever tells you not to put ketchup on their hot dog, they're an idiot. All right, they're an idiot.
I'm with you. It's like you don't talk about politics or something else in the bar. I talk about it all, but I'm not going to talk about ketchup.
Andrew, I am. I'll tell you why, and I'll give you the best argument to use from here on out, since you agree with me on this one. This is what I tell people when they tell me you can't believe you put ketchup on your hot dog. This is what I tell them.
I do it. Yeah, I do.
This is what I tell them, Andrew. Do you put ketchup on your French fries? And they say yes. Of course they say yes. And then I say, okay, well, when you eat the hot dog and you take a damn French fry and you put it in your mouth, guess what, my friend? You got ketchup on your hot dog, so shut your mouth. That's what I tell them. That's enough.
My man, I know, all right, we agree on this. Thank you. Not a lot of people agree with me, but, like, I don't want to pick a Montez Sweat, but, like, since we brought him up, like, contract year, they kind of had to sign him. They traded for him, and he was injured last year. I get it. He got a sack, the most sluggish sack I've seen. He got one. I think he got one last week, too, but I'm not picking him on Montez Sweat. We're like, we can't expect, I think we can expect mediocrity at best, honestly, and it's, we're passionate Bears fans. Anyone's listening, anyone's calling in, you obviously are. I'm like, we're missing a whole bunch of another fingers for blue chip players, and we just don't have them.
Yeah, we'll get there, though, Andrew. I appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for chiming in. I mean, you're making a good point. You would love our quarterback to be the blue chip player in this moment. You would love Caleb Williams to be that guy for you. You would love Colston Loveland to be a blue chip player. I'd love Grady Jarrett to be a blue chip player on that defensive line. Tremaine Edmonds has had a hell of a season so far.
How about TJ Edwards as a blue chip?
Not a blue chipper. He's like
what's the tier after blue chip?
Violet chipper.
Violet chipper. Okay.
I'm trying to think of something close to blue.
Tremaine has had a great season, though.
He's a purple chipper.
Purple chipper.
It just sounds better.
Tremaine, to your point, has had a kind of a disappointing first two seasons with the Bears. This year, he's taken a step up.
Yeah.
For sure.
He's played well enough. You want Jaquan Brisker to be your blue chip player. That's the problem with Bears.
Contract year.
And it's the problem with Bears players themselves, and I said this a lot, we as Bears fans elevate these guys to maybe a level or two higher than they actually are.
I'm very guilty of that, Gabe.
Same.
Admittedly.
People are like, Ozzie Trapillo, pencil him in, Hall of Famer, best offensive tackle the Bears are going to have. Like, that's the kind of stuff we do. You know? Oh, my God. Colston Loveland, Jesus. How dare you judge him after seven games? That man is a monster. Like, that's what people say. You know what I mean? Like, that's where we're at right now. Tyreek Stevenson, come on. DeAndre, like, that's what we do. But the fact of the matter is, and that's what Andrew was saying, is that league-wide, they are not blue chippers. They're blue chippers in our heart, but they are not blue chippers in the grand scheme of the NFL. And that is the disheartening part.
You know what's disheartening to me, though? Jalen Johnson still does not get the due respect he deserves as a blue chip player.
He wasn't
in the top 100 NFL players list again, voted by the players themselves for the second straight year, which is, I'm sorry, he's totally a top 100 player.
But it's kind of like, I remember Joe Creedy, this is a weird connection, but I remember Joe Creedy playing center field. Or no, not center field. Aaron Rowan, excuse me. I remember Aaron Rowan playing center field for the Chicago White Sox during the 05 season. And I remember Hawk used to always say, Torrey Hunter will always be the all-star because he takes bad routes to fly balls and makes up for it and then makes diving catches. And people think that it's exciting. And therefore, he's a great center fielder because he's making these diving plays. But Hawk Harrison will say, well, it's because he was taking bad reads on bad jumps. Where Aaron Rowan would always have these great jumps and then read the ball exceptionally well and always be under it. And so he made playing center field look easy. So therefore, you didn't consider him to be that good of a player, right? And then so the person that you were mentioning again is?
Jalen Johnson.
So with Jalen Johnson, it's like, if you're not throwing him the ball, right? Because remember, people weren't targeting him because he was all over there. So the only people that are going to vote for Jalen Johnson is like Justin Jefferson. Or, you know what I mean? Like the top wide receivers that know how good he is. Everyone else don't care because he's not getting the shine. But Jalen Johnson, we all know, is a top tier cornerback in the NFL.
I still just don't feel like he's given the respect he deserves.
Put some respect on his name.
Put some respect on his name, man.
All right, put some respect on his name and put the phone in your hand because we want to hear your calls. All right, 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on 670 The Score. Bears lose 30-16. A lot of frustration to go around. Inability to score in the red zone. Caleb Williams, completion percentage. The Bears defense allowing four long-ass drives. What was the most frustrating for you? Is it Ben Johnson feeding the rock to DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manungai within the 10-yard line? What is it for you? I want to know, man. I want you to get it off your chest. 312-644-6767. And if you could fix one thing by next Sunday, what would it be? The pass rush, Caleb Williams, short yardage offense, red zone. If you could fix one thing by next Sunday, what would it be? 312-644-6767. Your phone calls next right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it.
Are you playing me off?
That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
We said it. I said it in the pregame.
This is a game for Caleb to win. This is a game for him to go out there and play. You're going against a 30th ranked defense, 32nd ranked defense, 28th, whatever stat you're looking at.
Right.
A poor defense, and he should have played better overall. It was very, very inconsistent.
That was Patrick Manley on the Bears postgame show, along with Mully and Olin Krutz, talking about the inconsistency of Caleb Williams. Of course, the Bears lose to the Baltimore Ravens 30-16. Caleb Williams on the day, 25 for 38 for 285 yards, had one interception, a costly one, and one sack on the day. Tough sledding for Caleb Williams, man. It's there. The talent is there. But what I've said and what I want you guys to hear is that after yesterday's game, the ceiling for Caleb Williams, in my mind, is now a couple feet lower, right? Where I think he still has a ceiling. There's still room to grow. He's still going to be good. But my ceiling after yesterday for Caleb Williams has come down a bit. Where I was the optimistic Bears fan that thought Caleb Williams could be a top 3 to 5 quarterback in the league. He had the talent. If he can just get the easy passes, easy throws, you know, getting that first down that he frequently talks about, then I thought he could, you know, reach that level, pile some victories together, put the team on his back. He's proven he can score in the last 2 minutes of a game or a quarter. And yesterday just kind of slapped me in the face with reality, like, hey, Gabe, okay, he's not going to be a top 3 to 5 quarterback. Maybe a 6, hopefully a 7, 8, 9. So that's where my ceiling is at now. Now my ceiling is a top 10 quarterback. He's already a top 15 quarterback, right? He's already there. I'm not there yet where I want to just label him a 11 to 15. That would be bad. But I do think he can reach top 10 status still. I just think it's not top 3 to 5. And I think that's what happened. That's, for me, was the big takeaway from yesterday. That my expectations of Caleb Williams should not be to put the team on his back, throw 4 touchdowns, put 35 points on the board, and the Bears walk away victorious. Maybe that's not what it is. But I'm curious what you have to say. 312-644-6767. This is one of my favorites when I work overnights here on 670 The Score. This is John out from Dallas. John, welcome to the show, man. Good to talk to you again.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm hanging in there, man. It's not going as good as it normally is, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, listen to about two things. Listen to the point about the coach.
Okay.
Look how many times he used Burden yesterday. He gave him one play. He did a sweep. They don't throw the ball downfield enough. They threw a flea flicker to him early in the season. That's it. Is he got some against this guy because he said something about not playing enough time, that he only playing one time? You, after Loveland made the false start penalty, you didn't see him get nothing no more either. I don't know what it is about this coach, everybody giving him so much credit for. The play called, who called that play on the, when we get in the fourth quarter? We was down 3 points with the ball with about 8 minutes. The Swift ran 3 yards, and then here come Caleb, flat-footed, and the receiver was waiting for the ball. The ball, like, it never was going to get there. He didn't put enough on it. But why are you going to call a sort of 3-yard play, five-yard out? Why not stretch the field with a post or a slant? Get you right in your, near your end zone. That's the worst place you could throw an interception. I blame that on the coach, and I give 50% to the coach for the call, and I give 50% on Caleb. Caleb knew better. He knew he should not have threw that ball.
Yeah,
I hang up in Michigan.
John, there's been a couple of instances that I've spoke about when it comes to Ben Johnson where, listen, is he a good offensive coordinator? Sure, we know that. It's proven, right? You have a proven track record in Detroit. Can you be a great coach? Head coach, I should say. That obviously remains to be seen. There's so many nuances when it comes to being a head coach. Do I feel like he's headed in the right direction? Absolutely. I think he can be a really good coach in this league. I think he gets in his own way sometimes, right? You mentioned Luther Burden. You mentioned Colston Loveland. I think sometimes he goes out of his way to target people that don't need to be targeted, right? Like, I don't need you to force the ball to Luther Burden. I don't need you to force the ball to Coastin Loveland. The only person I need you to force the ball to is DJ Moore and Rome Odunze, right? These are guys that can get you going and can open up the rest of the offense. I don't need you to do a naked bootleg to get Coastin Loveland's hands on the ball so that you can prove to everybody that he's worthy of the number 10 pick. That's the part that's frustrating to me when it comes to Ben Johnson. Also, when they're in the red zone, leaning on the run too much to prove a point, right? Like, he wants to prove things via his offense when that shouldn't be the case. You should just be trying to do what works. You've seen Bill Belichick at times when he beat the Buffalo Bills a couple years back in the snow. All he did was run, and he ran the same play. Why? Because they couldn't stop it. He didn't want to do anything fancy. He didn't feel like he needed to feed anybody else on his team. He just wanted to win the game and did what was in front of him. And I think Ben Johnson in certain moments gets in his own way. Gets in his own way and tries to be, not, it's not cute, but he's too confident in his offense, right? And what I said, John, was that the Bears aren't good enough yet to do those kinds of things. To mortgage a play in order to validate someone's feeling throughout the course of a game. That, to me, is unacceptable. And we find ourselves in those moments too far and too often. Listen, if you're in the gold zone, like I used to say this about the Bears a couple of years ago. Like, when was the last time you seen someone catch a pass running into the end zone? Like, think about that for a second if you're a Bears fan. Like, I'm talking about, you know, beating the defense. Okay, Rome Odunze earlier this year, but the guy slipped and fell. Do you remember that one? On the left-hand side.
Against Dallas.
Against Dallas. The defender falls. Rome Odunze changes the route, runs into the end zone. That was on a busted play. All right? I'm talking about a regular play. I'm talking about, you know, speedy guy, over the top, perfect throw in stride into the end zone. Like, when's the last time you seen that? We haven't seen that. But I would love to take a shot. I would love to take a shot in the end zone. Let Rome Odunze go up and get it. I've been rattling these stats off that I was.
This is kind of a thin category. And perfectly fine if you say no. Does the flea flicker to Luther Burden count?
No.
No. Okay.
It's the equivalent.
Valid question?
I mean, it's the equivalent. I mean, you could ask because it happened, but it's the equivalent of Turpin falling down and Rome Odunze being open, right? It's a gadget play. It's not drop back and give your guy an opportunity to go up and get it. Like, that's not happening as often as it should. And, you know, those are the frustrating things for me, because we know Caleb has the arm strength. We know we have the talent with Luther Burden or Rome Odunze to go over the top and get the ball. It's just like we're not doing it. And again, I'm talking specifically, and I'm not even talking about throughout the course of a game. I'm talking specifically in the gold zone. I'm talking when the Bears had the ball on the 23-yard line, put the ball in the damn end zone and let somebody get up and go get it instead of saying, Ben Johnson, no. I can run the ball with DeAndre Swift all the way down to the end zone. Common Nun guy, 7th-round draft pick. Nobody wanted him because he's 5'8". It's all good. I'm Ben Johnson. I could run the ball here. Watch. It's like that's the part that's frustrating to me. Like, give me something to feel good about in those moments. The Ravens defense have allowed 6.5 catches and 67 yards to tight ends this season. Get it to Coastin Loveland. Rome Odunze led FBS in deep catches and deep yards his senior season. Listen to that. Deep catches, deep yards, he led all of college football in that statistic. He was 2nd in FBS in catches over 20 yards. 2nd in all of college football, when everyone knew Michael Penix Jr. was going to throw it down the field to Rome Odunze. And he still came down with it. A 75% jump ball success rate is what he had in college. And prior to yesterday, was leading the league in contested catches over 15 yards. Why aren't we giving that man more opportunities to come down with the ball? That's what I'm talking about. And I want to be clear. I'm not talking about just in the midst of a game. I'm talking about specifically when you're in the red zone. Just throw it up. You see teams do that all the time. If you have a good receiver that has a specific skill set, let him take advantage of that. Why aren't we doing that? Or not, why aren't we? Why hasn't that happened yet? I know why we're not, because maybe Caleb can't see it, doesn't feel confident in his arm. Maybe Ben's not calling the play. That's why. But what's the reason why it's not happening?
And same thing for DJ Moore. I mean, did he get like the one look on the catch and run, which he's so good at eluding defenders and creating opportunities to gain more yards?
The one-handed catch was beautiful.
Oh, that one too. But like, remember the screenplay on third? It was third and medium. It was one of their first couple drives. And you're like, oh, DJ Moore, he caught a pass, breaks a tackle at the line of scrimmage, goes for a first down.
Oh, that's I know what you're talking about.
That's what DJ Moore does best, and they're not. He's not giving him those kind of looks.
And I hate the screen pass more than anything else. It's just like,
oh, I hate it too.
One of my least favorite plays in the NFL. It's like you're like banking on so many things to go right.
I know.
You're
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Our receivers have to block properly. Your quarterback has to throw a perfect ball in like a half a second.
Which Caleb actually did on that play.
No. Trust me. He did. The success rate is low, right? It can happen that they draw it up to where it's supposed to happen, but it rarely does in the instance. But listen, I know DJ Moore is frustrated. Four catches for 73 yards, and if you take away that 42-yard big play that he had, I mean,
three for 31.
I mean, this is a guy that's playing every game. He's played every game for the Bears the last two seasons. 96 catches his first year with the Bears, 98 catches last year. He had 104.
He had more catches last year than 23.
Yeah,
that's surprising.
He had 98 catches. In 23, he had 96 catches for 1,300 yards.
Monster year.
In 24, he had 98 catches for 960 yards.
Oof.
Yeah. He was averaging 80 yards a game with Justin Fields, 56 yards a game with Caleb Williams. Yards per reception, 23, 14.2, and 24, 9.9. But it has gone up to 12.7 this year, probably because he had a 42-yard bomb.
But he's not getting the looks.
One touchdown through seven games. Not enough for DJ Moore.
No.
Not enough. Just not enough. So you have an Iron Man. I mean, I know he's frustrated. The defense, you can say, all right, fine. You know, you haven't had Kyler Gordon a lot. T.J. Edwards was out a lot. Grady Jarrett's been out a lot. you know, there's been injuries on the defensive side. Now, obviously, Tyreek Stevenson and Kyler Gordon being out again. So the defense, fine. We can make excuses for them all day. The offense, though, you have Ben Johnson, you have Caleb Williams, you have all your weapons. And granted, you want to be fair, they've put up, prior to yesterday, 21 points, at least 21 points in every single game that they've played. So the offense has been there. They're the only team in the NFL to have done that. But despite those points, it still makes you feel like you're missing something. Like there's more to be had in those instances. And that's the frustrating part about where we're at with this Bears team, right? The Adunze usage. Because he looks like your wide receiver one already. Has the strong hands. Body control is great. Tough yards on money downs. Like you saw him really holding on to the ball yesterday where he dropped a few the week before. But you need DJ Moore because defenses are capping him, right? Looking over the top, the safety help is there. So what do you need to do? You need to shift the high leverage targets. Get them to Romo Dunze, 15 and more. Force defenses to pick their poison. Are you going to stop Romo Dunze? Like, I saw so many routes where DJ Moore was just like a crossing pattern 5 yards deep. And that part was frustrating to me. And you can't double both of them. So what do you do? If they're trying to be honest on the outside, you gotta pound the rock. Find your leaky tight end. This is what goes back to the identity of the Chicago Bears. It lacks. There's no identity of this team. They ran the ball well a couple of times, and we thought that was a fluke. They're not a team that's going to be a gunslinging team that throws the ball 35 times. It just doesn't happen. So who are they? Who are the Chicago Bears? I'll tell you who they are. They're frustrating. Who are they? They're frustrating. It's Gabe Ramirez here, 670 The Score on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Hanging out with you till 5 o'clock. That's when Dustin Rhodes takes over. And, of course, he does the effortless handoff. He's probably, I'll call it the wildcat formation because Dustin, you know, does a lot. So he's not just a QB. He's a little bit of everything. So he's in the wildcat, but he's handing it off to Mullion Hall. They got Olin Kreutz at 7. Then they got TJ Edwards, current Chicago Bear at 8 o'clock. Then after that, Brad Biggs at 9 o'clock. Then Raheemy, Harris, Mark Grody jump on. They got Anthony Heron at 11, one of my favorites. Then Dan Weederer at 1, the other half of the Take the North podcast, along with Mark Grody. Then Spiegel and Holmes jump on at 3 o'clock. Or excuse me, Spiegel and Holmes jump on at 2, but they got Kurt Warner at 3. But we have you right now. 312-644-6767. Taking your phone calls. Thoughts about the Bears. What made you the most frustrated? Let's go out to the phone lines. We got Mark out in South Bend. Mark, good to talk to you again.
Hey, Gabe, it's always good to check in with you.
All right.
You're on to something there. And the Bears are inside the red zone. They're not going for the end zone fade or anything or attacking the end zone. And I don't understand the game calling. I mean, even when we had Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey and Edgar and Bennett, we would attack the end zone and score. Now, I don't understand the game plan why we ain't attacking the end zone more in or near the red zone.
Let me ask you this, Mark. Do you think, and this just popped into my head right now, do you think that it is an indictment on the trust that Ben Johnson has in Caleb Williams where he's saying, I don't trust you to put the ball in the proper place in the end zone or make the right decision. So I'm gonna pound the rock instead of giving you the chance to throw for a touchdown.
That's a possibility, Gabe, and that is a terrible mistake. You got the old number one overall draft pick quarterback. You and you're not going to put faith in him and come up with a plan where he can succeed. If an NFL team doesn't succeed inside the red zone and score touchdowns, you're going to lose games.
Yeah, and it's going to happen often, right? I mean, you got to put up points, and that's what we saw yesterday, where the Bears' inability to score touchdowns cost them not only momentum, right, but the opportunity to put pressure on a backup quarterback in Tyler Huntley. When your first two possessions equate to 6 points. And Tyler Huntley is like, okay, damn, if I just have one good drive, I'm right back in this game. And it's exactly what he did. It's exactly what we saw. So, again, it's the inability to put up points that, you know, allows other teams to feel like they're getting monumental victories emotionally, where, okay, we bent but didn't break, and we allowed six points, two field goals, but all we got to do is feed the rock to Derrick Henry. All we got to do is have a sustained drive. And then at 7-6, the pressure then falls back on the Chicago Bears. And that's what we saw happen yesterday.
No doubt about it, Gabe. Hey, Gabe, it's great to chime in with you, and we'll talk again.
As we will. Mark, I appreciate the phone call. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. I love the, you know, for market, the frustration was the lack of productivity in the red zone. But I'm curious what that frustration is for you, right? You watch this game. It felt like you were watching a 2-4 team lose a game. Tyler Ferengul producing today. That's what it felt like, that your team was 2-4 and you're going into Baltimore hoping for a victory to get closer to 500. You're going up against the backup QB and you lost. So it made you feel like your 2-4 team is 2-5 and you suck and you're not going to make the playoffs and you're not good enough and your offense isn't good enough and your defense, despite the injuries, can't maintain. It's frustrating. That's what this game is for me. But I'm curious again what it is for you. 312.
Playoffs.
Oh, man. 312-644-6767. What was the most frustrating thing for you after this Bears game? And there's another one right around the corner next Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals, who just lost to the Jets, which I was mad about because now they're going to have a chip on their shoulder. Even though they lost Trey Hendrickson, he went out with an injury. You saw that? So that's going to be
tough. He's been banged up the last couple weeks.
Right. So he'll be out. But again, you're going to have to put up 40 points against the Bengals. Joe Flacco's not going to put up 10, 15, 13.
Let me ask you, who's lining up against Jamar Chase and T. Higgins next weekend?
Oh, my God.
I don't even want to think about that.
It's me and you. That's the talent level there.
Nashawn
it's me
Wright,
and you.
Who's Nashawn Wright going against? Chase or Higgins?
Of course, it'd have to be Chase. And then you put McCloud against Higgins, and you just hope that Kevin Byard and Jaquan Brisker help over the top.
I also wanted to bring this up to you really quickly.
Sure.
Man, seeing Kyler Gordon go just from not even a designation on Wednesday to then all of a sudden he's limited on Thursday, then Friday, oh, he didn't practice, and then, oh, Saturday, oh, he's on the IR. What the hell happened?
Yeah, that's another... I mean, Kyler Gordon is hovering around the injury prone
man
designation.
Man, and he's such a vital part to this team.
I mean, the defense is just significantly better. Not just better, but significantly better when he's on the field. But you know what? We got another opportunity next week to go ahead and see that and see how it plays out. It's going to be a good one. And you can actually join the score on Sunday at Revolution Brewing. Shout out Rev Brewing, 3340 North Kedzie. So it's right in between Belmont and Addison on Kedzie. You can stop by the White Castle if you want some food over there. The Little Caesars right over there. But Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully are going to host the pregame show there from 9 to noon. And then they're going to have a media reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on Cincinnati. Again, that's this Sunday at Revolution Brewing. Make sure you guys are there for that one. It's going to be a great show. They have a great beer garden over there at Revolution Brewing. So I want to make sure you guys are there. And, you know, Patrick Manley has his own beer. So hopefully there won't be any conflicts. They won't be fighting over that kind of stuff. But either way, again, next Sunday, Revolution Brewing. Make sure you're there for it so you can check out the fellas and watch a good Bears game. Hopefully get a victory. All right. I want to take your phone calls on the other side, 312-644-6767. I want to hear what your most frustrating part about this Bears loss was. What was the takeaway for you? And then, if you could fix one thing by next Sunday, what would that be? Is it the pass rush? Is it the cornerbacks? Is it Caleb Williams? 312-644-6767. Your calls on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips on 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.